going on, everybody? It's Buddy, it's Pal Sebastian Phoenix of the YWC Reality Check here with your NXT Deadline 2023 preview. Yes, if you're paying attention to your feeds, you will notice that there is also a sort of kind of half-ass preview for Impact. Impact's Final Resolution pay-per-view as well. For two reasons. A, it's the last Impact pay-per-view ever before they go back to being TNA, and B, because I'm going. Yes, it's really that simple and that selfish of me. But yeah, NXT Deadline coming up this Saturday while I'm at the Don Kolov watching the Impact show. It's got the Iron Survivor, which is awesome. I like the Iron Survivor. It's good. I really want one of these shows to come to Toronto. I get Impact shows. I get WWE shows. I get Destiny shows. I want one of these NXT shows. I went to both NXT TakeOver Toronto's when the TakeOver thing was a thing. This new version of NXT hasn't come back up to Canada yet, so I would really like this. Or give me New Year's Evil or Great America, or Great Canadian Bash, I guess it would be. You know, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, was it Vengeance Day? I don't know. Anything. Deadline. Give me Deadline next year. It'd be fine. But lots and lots and lots of good stuff on this card. There's no WWE pay-per-view this month. So this is the last pay-per-view offering that we're getting this year from any company that actually, you know, matters. Gonna jump into the card because, as you can tell, still have no voice. Don't know how long this pod's gonna be. Please go check out the Impact Final Resolution preview where I half-assed my way through some predictions because I haven't really been paying attention. But with that being said, on the kickoff, Axiom versus Nathan Frazier. Why are we having this? Because we did a series last year and it was awesome, and we tried to do it again this week and it was interrupted by the female competitors from the Iron Survivor and the match got thrown out. So high-flying guys doing high-flying stuff. Axiom, Nathan Frazier are awesome. Neither one of them's really in a story right now. I think Axiom and Scripps were involved in something for a while there, and now Scripps is without the Mud, who I could give a shit less about, to be perfectly honest with you. Nathan Frazier, the last thing he did was when he was involved along with Tyler Bate and Noam Dar, and all of them were fighting over the Heritage Cup. So instead of that, give us a match that we know is good. Give it to us on the kickoff. It'll be a great way to kick off the show. Not to take anything away from either of these guys, I don't think it matters who wins. I think Nathan Frazier's going to win. I couldn't tell you why I think that, but Axiom winning wouldn't bother me either. We got Dragon Lee on the show as well, so it'll be interesting to see the differences between all the different high-flying guys of NXT on the night. Next up, Carmelo Hayes versus Lexus King. Now, what is this? This is really going to be the culmination of this story between Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Who assaulted Trick Williams? We pretty much know that it was Lexus King, but did Carmelo Hayes get Lexus King to do the assault? Is he jealous of his friend? Is he wanting to keep his friend in the sidecar, so to speak? Lexus King, since he came over, since Brian Pillman Jr. came over to NXT and became Lexus King, I really like it. Yes, it's obnoxious. Yes, the sliding throne is hilarious. Yes, he's a bit of a creeper, hitting on all the interview staff and such, and he's just a pain in the ass being up in everybody's way. But you can go both ways with this, and either way is fine. You can have it that Lexus King has come to NXT and wanted to destabilize one of the biggest tandems on the brand, that being Trick and Melo. Or you could go with Carmelo Hayes was worried that his protege or his sidekick or whatever was about to outshine him, and he got him to do the assault thinking that he would get himself into the Iron Survivor. Either one works. I really do think Carmelo, and I know I've been saying this forever, I really do think Carmelo Hayes is going to show up in the Rumble next year. So Lexus King getting the win here. It's his first showing at a PLE or pay-per-view, whatever we want to call it. Lexus King wins, maybe by scheming means, maybe because Trick Williams comes out and fucks with Carmelo Hayes because Lexus King's mind games have worked. You could go a lot of different directions with it. I think Lexus King, as a new character, as a new talent on the roster, kind of needs the win to sort of solidify his arrival. Carmelo Hayes is Carmelo Hayes. He's awesome. A loss isn't going to hurt him one bit, especially because it's probably going to involve nonsense. I mean, let's be real for a second. Carmelo Hayes needs to come up to the main roster. He does. Initially, I would have said Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams come up as a tandem to the main roster because they were so good as a package. But if they've separated them off so that Trick Williams can have some time in the spotlight on NXT before going to the main roster, that doesn't hurt my feelings either. Roxanne Perez and Kiana James in a steel cage. Sort of cut and paste what I said about the last match. Roxanne Perez is the other one. Carmelo Hayes, Roxanne Perez are the two that I'm saying are going to come from NXT and either show up at the Rumble or be that, like, Raw after Mania call-up. So Kiana James is probably going to make herself a main fixture in the Women's Championship picture next year. Kiana James is a heel. Cage match is a violent type of match. Heels in violent type of matches make sense that they should get the win. Kiana James is going to get the win. It's going to propel her. Like I said about Carmelo Hayes, it's not going to affect Roxanne Perez at all. I do think that this is sort of like, I don't think it's going to be match of the night, but I think it's sort of like a dark horse for consideration like that, if that makes any sense. I think Roxanne Perez, Kiana James, know that they don't have a title match, know that they're not at the top of the card, know that they're not in the signature match, the Iron Survivor matches, so they know they have to try even harder to stick out. I always use the, and I've said this a lot, I always use the Randy Orton CM Punk at WrestleMania that one year, where there was no titles, there was no stipulation, it was just a match for match's sake, and that made it stick out. Now, this is a stipulation, it's a cage match, but it's not the stipulation that this pay-per-view is based around. Kind of like when they had the ambulance match at the Elimination Chamber one year. Bad example, but I hope you get my point. I mean, if Roxanne Perez wins this, no problem with that either. I see her doing something ridiculous like a Pop Rocks off the top of the cage, which would probably definitely kill somebody. But as I say, dark horse for probably talking point of the night, if nothing else. NXT North American Championship is a weird scenario, because right now we have a guy from Raw and a guy from SmackDown fighting over an NXT Championship. This was supposed to be Wes Lee getting his shot at getting his North American Championship back. We saw announced this past Tuesday that he's got some major spinal nerve issues and he can't feel his fucking legs. So, all sarcasm aside, that fucking sucks. First and foremost, to say that we miss out on seeing a Wes Lee match is sort of side to the point, if that makes sense. What's shitty is the fact that the guy can't feel his fucking legs. He's going to come back. He's going to, you know, make his return in a year, 8 months, or whatever they said. And we're going to get more Wes Lee matches. What sucks right now is the guy's back is fucked and he can't feel his fucking legs. Let's not just narrow it down to something as simple as, oh my God, we don't get to see a Wes Lee match this Saturday. Which is also a bummer. I really like Wes Lee. Wes Lee has dealt with, you know, from his tag team partner being fucked over and him being sort of forced to try a singles run, to injuries, to, you know, he went home a little while ago to deal with stuff, and now he's got this. The guy's just got really shitty luck. It makes me think of, and I don't want to make this comparison, but it makes me think of the trail of injuries that Tegan Knox had, from the Mae Young Classic to the second Mae Young Classic to the injuries that she suffered in NXT. You don't want to see anybody have a trail of injuries. But as much as it sucks and as much as it is a cliche in wrestling, the show must go on. So Wes Lee threw to Rey Mysterio for Dominic Mysterio's new opponent. For a split second, I thought we were going to get Dominic versus Rey for the NXT North American Championship, which would have been wild, but then I forgot Rey Mysterio is legit injured, as far as I know. So Rey Mysterio instead announced that he was going to be in the corner of your opponent on Saturday, and that's going to be Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee versus Dominic Mysterio is going to be awesome. We've seen it before, and it was great, and it'll be great again. They've already pre-announced Rhea Ripley will definitely be in Dom's corner, and that Rey will be in Dragon Lee's corner. The interactions between Rey Mysterio and Rhea Ripley will, I'm sure, be hilarious. I don't think, because this is a last-minute fill-in, I don't think if they were going to have the North American Championship come back to NXT, like take it off of Dominic's shoulders so that we can bring it back to NXT, I don't think you do that with a SmackDown guy like Dragon Lee. Would I mind Dragon Lee being the champion? No, of course not. If he hadn't been called up and he was still in NXT and he wanted to sort of carry the banner, carry the flag for NXT and get their title back, awesome. But he's already doing cool shit on SmackDown. Now, how do I think, excuse me, how do I think this is going to happen? I think you're going to get interference from Santos Escobar, because Santos Escobar has an issue with the entire LWO, which now apparently includes Dragon Lee. So I can very much see Santos Escobar coming down, getting in Rey Mysterio's face, if not Dragon Lee's face, and Dominic taking advantage of that, which would all tie together. Like, we're threading that story through all the things. I think somebody showed me a stat the other day, and it's like, of all the people that have had, you know, however many matches and shown up on however many shows, Dominic is in, like, the top five of WWE superstars that have shown up on the most TV, had the most matches, had the most segments, etc. And I'm like, that's not too shabby, considering some people still think he sucks, which is flat out wrong. But it is what it is. Now, let's talk about the Iron Survivor challenges. I love the Iron Survivor. I think it's a great concept. I don't think it sets the world on fire, but I do think it's fun. It mixes up a little bit of the King of the Mountain match, a little bit of the Iron Man match, a little bit of the Royal Rumble. There's a little bit of all of that in there, and people shit on the King of the Mountain match, but those people don't like fun. Dijak, Trick Williams, Josh Briggs, Bron Breakker, and Tyler Bate. Four gigantic dudes and Tyler Bate. Immediately makes me think it's going to be Tyler Bate that wins. Like, he's going to do, like, the ultimate underdog thing. But I really want it to be Josh Briggs. Just because the dude's a vibe. And, like, he just... I know that there's a lot of wrestlers that you can say this about, but, like, the dude just comes off like a dude. And regardless of who wins in the main event, Josh Briggs coming out there just being a dude that's a dude, going up against either Ilya Dragunov, who's insane, or Baron Corbin, who's an asshole, is an interesting story. If he wins this, I don't think he wins the title, don't get me wrong, but I think that'd be good, because Trick Williams, pretty sure, is going to be taken out of the equation. Not taken out of the match, but he'll be distracted or attacked or something. Some fuckery will be afoot with the whole Carmelo Hayes, Alexis King situation. Dijak? I like Dijak, but I don't think they're going to put him in the title picture. Bron Breakker is another one that's probably set to the main roster sooner than later. Josh Briggs or Tyler Bate. Thing is, Josh Briggs I could see taking on Ilya Dragunov or Baron Corbin. Tyler Bate, it would sort of have to be Baron Corbin, because Tyler Bate and Ilya Dragunov have already fought quite a bit. I don't know. This is going to be the Big E Langston special. It's going to be, you know, four big guys and Tyler Bate slapping man meat. That didn't work at all. Sorry. Not feeling great. Jokes aren't going to be on par. Prediction, Tyler Bate with a slightly hopeful vote for Josh Briggs. On the other side of the coin, on the women's side, now before I get into the women's side, I should say there's no women's championship match announced, but Lola Vice did tease cashing in her women's breakout tournament opportunity at the pay-per-view this past Tuesday on NXT. So is that going to happen? Maybe, maybe not. If Lola Vice becomes the champion, that's kind of going to suck. Not because I don't like Lola Vice. I think she's very talented, very kind of unique in the ring. But I mean, Lyra Valkyria just got that belt not too long ago. And we haven't even really gotten yet the full picture of what the Lyra Valkyria title reign looks like, if that makes sense. And I mean, she won that championship off of Becky Lynch. So I don't think we can just sweep that under the rug. Also, spoiler alert, I'm picking Fallon Henley to win the Women's Iron Survivor. I really am. Again, and it's because they're in the same group probably, and they've got like the old bunch of friends hanging out at the country bar feeling, as cheesy as it is. But again, she's the most like actual like human sounding character in the match. Same thing with Josh Briggs. You got Tiffany Stratton in there, who's already been a champion. You've got Lash Legend, who, I'm sorry, is terrible. Blair Davenport is good, really good. I don't think her character and the way she presents herself and how violently they have presented her, I don't think she needs a match like this to get herself a title shot. That's just me. Kalani Jordan will probably be the one that runs it close because she's the brand new kid on the block. She wants to make a very, very good showing of herself. So if it comes down to, Fallon Henley wins it by five falls, Kalani Jordan would be the one right behind her that got like four falls or whatever. She could be, you can compare it to, you know, in the Rumble, we don't just talk about the winner. We talk about the person that eliminated the most people, the person that was in the match the most time. We talk about all different kinds of stats. I think you can tell some stories like that with Kalani Jordan. But Fallon Henley and Josh Briggs would just be feel-good wins. Now, Brooks Jensen kind of gets left out in the cold in that scenario, unless Josh Briggs wants to turn it into a tag team title shot, which some people would see as a downgrade. I don't think it really would be, because they said that for the longest time when Otis won the Money in the Bank, that him and Tucker were gonna cash that in for a tag team title shot instead. That didn't end up happening because I think they got rid of Tucker, but you know, it is what it is. And then Miz took Otis to court for his money. We don't need to talk about that. So I'm picking Nathan Frazier, I'm picking Lexus King, I'm picking Kiana James, I'm picking Dominic Mysterio, I'm picking Fallon Henley, I'm picking either Tyler Bate or Josh Briggs. And this will come as a surprise to nobody. In the main event, Ilya Dragunov versus Baron Corbin for the NXT Championship, I'm picking Baron Corbin. Now, do I think it's necessarily going to happen? No, but I really hope it does. Baron Corbin, he said it in his promo. He said it in a heel way and in a storytelling kind of way. But what he said in his promo on Tuesday really was true. He has been here for a long time. He has been everywhere. He's been on Raw, he's been on SmackDown, he was on the original NXT back when he was the Lone Wolf. He's pulled off all these shitty gimmicks, all these shitty characters. He has mixed it up with almost every main eventer on the main roster. He's been to WrestleMania, he's won other titles, they made him the GM for a little while. Like, he has done everything. And I don't think they've ever really given him anything that meant anything. And it's not my place to sit here and say, oh, I'm going to stand up for the good nature of Baron Corbin. It's not what I'm doing. I'm saying Baron Corbin, criminally underrated. He's like a Miz. He's like a Ziggler. He's like a Natalya Neidhart. A couple of other people out there that are criminally underrated because people decided 8 years ago, this is what this guy is. And he got handed some goofy shit on the main roster and made it work, by the way. Made it work. I've said it to you guys, and I'll keep saying it since he's come back to WWE. I was never really a Cody guy. I was never really a Cody guy. But one of the defenses, I mean, I'm kind of a Cody guy now, watching him get drunk at press conferences and, you know, overly yeeting with Jey Uso. Oh, but we can't. There's trademarks now. No yeet. That's a whole other story for a whole other day. That shit's hilarious. But Cody Rhodes always got the credit for, he was handed a bunch of shit and he made it work. He did the Dashing to Deranged. He did Stardust. He did That weird tag team with young Drew McIntyre. He did the Rhodes Scholars. He did Golden Stardust as a tag team. Like, a bunch of stuff that would have died on the vine with a lot of other people. And Cody Rhodes gets the credit for that. I don't get how somebody like a Baron Corbin, who's been handed equally as much shit, and even if you didn't like it, you could see that he was kind of trying to make it work, has never gotten the same credit, simply by the fact that he's not Cody Rhodes. But, like, and it's not a participation trophy. It's not the argument of, oh, he's been here a long time, give him something. Like, the guy makes himself look like a dick in every conceivable way, on every show you've got, on every pay-per-view, Raw, SmackDown. He did the dog food angle with Roman Reigns. He's had his ass kicked by everybody. He's gone out there and made himself a fucking goof for 8 years now. Give him something. And dude's probably in the best shape he's ever been in. And I really want Ilya Dragunov on the main roster. I want to get, it won't be the same, obviously. I want Ilya Dragunov versus Gunther on the main roster. It's not going to be like that disgusting match they had on NXT UK in the MB soundstage. But it would still be good. It would still be really good. But yeah, Baron Corbin. Mostly because I know nobody else will agree with me, because, you know, there's certain people that just aren't allowed to have credit, I guess. Baron Corbin should win. And I mean, like I say, Baron Corbin, the ultimate dickhead who's been bragging about, like, his lavish lifestyle and has now just become champion, taking on somebody like Josh Briggs would be great. You know, Lola Vice is kind of an annoying twit. If she cashes in on Lyra Valkyria and becomes champion somehow, and Fallon Henley wins the Iron Survivor and she picks up that championship, that'll be great. Dominic Mysterio is going to hold on to his championship just because that... I don't know. Like, you got two main roster guys in this match, so I don't think it really matters, but I really don't think passing it over to Dragon Lee... Passing Dragon Lee the NXT championship in the midst of his call-up from NXT to the main roster is almost like a backslide. It's almost more effective and more obnoxious for Dominic to hold it because he never was an NXT guy. And the funny part about that is everybody else in his group was. Finn Balor was in NXT. Damian Priest was in NXT. Rhea Ripley was in NXT. Jordan Devlin, JD McDonagh was in NXT. So of this whole group of ex-NXT people, he's the one that has an NXT championship. That makes more sense than giving it to Dragon Lee, who's probably trying to move upwards. So yeah, I'll run it down one more time. Nathan Frazier, Lexus King, Kiana James, Dominic Mysterio, Fallon Henley, Josh Briggs or Tyler Bate, and Baron Corbin. There hasn't been much to this. As you can tell, I don't have much of a voice. I would have loved to embellish on some of these a bit more, but I'm trying with all my might not to cough my lungs out right now. Hope you guys have enjoyed. If you have some thoughts going into this show, throw them down in the box below or hit me up on X at Spaz Phoenix. Please go check out the Final Resolution preview, because that's going to be fun as well. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging out. Bye, guys.